Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome back. Travis Yost of TSN entered our lives, and we bonded over Rasmus Ristolainen's horrendous possession numbers, and that's all we talked about for 11 years. Now I feel like I get my most Travis through, like, Bills takes. I don't want to say hot takes because I don't want to, you know, be negative toward Travis. I love Travis, but, you know, it's like, you know, it's the injuries or it's the – just the circumstances with the Bills. There's this angst. Travis has revealed himself as a Bills fan to us. And now when his name pops up on my feed, it's about how, you know, they're not getting open.
Yeah, you're commenting way more regularly on my posts or commenting on things you heard on the show and other people's Bills-related posts than I've seen. Is this a sign of some sort of deteriorating mental health?
100%. It's also a sign I've been on the bike a lot more. And I got to be honest, one thing that I have done over the last couple years, I kind of got sick of listening to music on my runs and biking, and I started listening more to random sports shows. And not to blow smoke, you guys are not just my favorite tandem. You're my favorite tandem on GR, too. Wow. You guys do a great job. But I will say, you guys are much more optimistic about the Bills right now than I am, and I think that's saying something.
So I was talking to Matt Collar today on his podcast, Purple Insider, and we were talking about, like, just the Vikings. His show was about the Vikings and the Bills. And he used to work here, as you may know, and I said, I just don't really want to – I don't feel it, and I don't want to be heard saying that they won't get there because they might. You know, like, that's maybe in some certain way a weakness on my part to not just want to rule them out. It's very easy to do that. Lots of fans do it. And what are their odds of being right? 90%? That at one point or another, the Bills will lose and stop short of their goal? I just really don't think that it has to end that way. And therefore, I don't want to be heard writing them off. So, maybe I am still, or maybe Bulldog is too, more optimistic than you are, but I'd want you to know that there's a part of the equation that is this broadcast, you know, that it's not, I do think, like, it wouldn't be right to write them off, But I mean, I
get
why you're
worried.
It might
be easier to write them off. We weren't in here talking about them 20 hours a week.
I appreciate the concern. I get it.
Yeah.
How's that?
Well, I think a couple things, right? Like I always have to caution myself because I can be a little more skeptical in the wrong way than I think. You know, I think it's good to live life optimistically. Like I do mean that glass half full type approach. But you know, I'm hearing a lot of I'll borrow a couple things I've heard from you boys this week.
All
like
right.
You know, the Bills are dominant in December. True, right? Counterpoint, this team doesn't look anything like the teams of the last 4 or 5 years. Even when a couple of years ago when they were, what was it, 6-5 and 6-6, felt mm-hmm. like they were on their heels to the nth degree, I felt like that team was materially better. They were a dumb mistake factory, but man, they can move the ball up and down the field. This team cannot in most scenarios. And, you know, I kind of, you know, you guys both know this. I went to that Texans game, and so I can see there is some recency bias here.
Yes.
But they look so slow and so old at so many positions, and this whole it's a one-player team, you know, I think in years past, I think that was maybe a little bit unfair. You know, early years to Allen, maybe a little unfair to the defense, and then certainly in the early 2020s, you know, I think Allen had decent weapons around him, but wow, does it feel true right now? I was talking to Bulldog about this. I tweeted him like 2 days ago. The part that I'm having a really hard time swallowing, because I agree, the AFC does not look very good. By the way, I think the exact same thing is true for the Eastern Conference and the Buffalo Sabres, by the way. Their competition doesn't look very good, and there are holes everywhere, and you know, this still is a 7-win team, but there's two things I pause on, which is they have really looked good one game this entire season against Tampa Bay. And two, you know, going back, like when I look at this roster and I look at the talent and I say, how does this talent compare? The one thing I think I do a lot, I mean, I watch a ton of football. I got the quad box on every week. I really enjoy it. I center my Sundays around it. They are just so devoid of talent at so many positions. And that's not to be, like, painfully negative, but there are onesie-twosie guys at certain positions, Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, where, yeah, okay, yeah, they're above-average players at the position. There's no doubt about that. But I have tremendous, tremendous difficulty finding where the talent is across most of the defense at this point, and I get that injuries have played a big role there. The wide receiver room is a complete disaster. I think that's been talked about ad infinitum at this point. The offensive line is regressing at the absolute worst time. It was probably the most reliable thing outside of Allen. And there's too many, like, even not even great players, just call them average to above average players that are constantly in and on and off the injury report every single week and missing games. And, like, I will say all that in the box. Like, I know everyone's talked about how important this game is against the Steelers. I'm genuinely worried about this game against the Steelers. I think they can lose this game against the Steelers. They have lost against far worse teams and have looked worse in many games this season in a way in years past where they would routinely outplay teams, and in those stupid losses, they were quote-unquote stupid losses. They are just losing these games this year, and I don't think that's something we've had to wrestle with for 5 years, 6 years, I think is fair.
Yeah, I think that's all. Pretty on the nose, Travis. I think you know you referenced in the setup of that 6-6 2 years ago, and I guess I would have to cop to this. Maybe a part of my not being able to see some of what you're describing is because when they were 6-6 and lost that overtime game to Philadelphia, that was like a breaking point for me. And I thought, like, I can't keep doing this with McDermott. I got to move on. And then they ran the table. And it's, I sort of felt like I've been backing away from that for the last 2 years. And so I guess I'm reluctant to be too quick to this team is in real trouble. I'm just figuring that they'll, well, figure it out. But you know, you make a certain good point here.
That is a fascinating dichotomy because I think that was totally fair to be, and I think for years the skepticism around this team has really centered around the head coach. But maybe I was a little too bullish and, you know, figuring that they could figure it out back then. And it wasn't that I was super optimistic at that moment, but I think the other side of that coin is where I'm right now, which is
the roster.
I have severe trepidation about the talent around the quarterback and on the defense in a way that I think the GM sort. I mean, we you know, you guys have talked about this at length in a good way, but I think the GM made serious miscalculations about this roster, and coupled with this just nonstop injury bug that has plagued the defense for 3 years. Which, by the way, you know, in any one season, and I think it's true in hockey, football, whatever the case, you deal with an injury bug, you deal with cluster injuries. It's almost impossible to control. You can't really blame anyone, but when you are by design or by happenstance rolling out an older, routinely banged up team, and then it happens again. And then also you're missing on these draft picks, which they're unequivocally, that has been one of the failure modes of this Bills team and where they're at right now. They have missed on way too many picks, especially in the last two drafts, maybe not this one. I look at this roster and I just don't think it's very good. And I think everyone, I think one way or another, independent of people's perspective, whether they're optimistic or pessimistic, I think the entire hope for the rest of the year is, can the quarterback be Superman and pull everything through the tunnel? And I just, after watching that game Thursday, I mean, I get it. That was that hopefully is the bottom of it all. But
yeah,
that was a moment that I think you said it. I'm not panicked, but I am shook. I'm panicked. I am panicked after seeing that.
How great is this guy? If we called Ross Tucker and asked him to go 30 minutes on the National Hockey League, you think he could do three?
No, he'd tell you about taking his girls to watch the Hershey Bears. That would be the end of it.
How great is this guy? Got to pay it back to Travis Yost of TSN.
Well, I do think, I don't want to dwell too much longer on the Bills here, but I think the roster, I think Bean, and I thought this back in April when he went, you know, nuclear with our guys in the morning. Like, he better be right, because he's putting a target on his own back. And not only has he missed on that, I mean, they're signing Brandon Cooks and they're trying to trade for Jaylen Waddle and Lord knows who else. He, I think, has made it easier for fans to look at him skeptically now. And that has not been, you couldn't be more right. It's been McDermott. 13 seconds is the flashpoint of that, and that's understandable. So it's always been McDermott, and Bean is kind of just coasted by. And I think that started changing when he opened fire on the wide receiver room in general, and now you're looking more skeptically at everything he's done, I think.
I think, I don't know if credit's the right thing. At least, a two-sided coin. It's clear as day to me that now the front office has recognized, yeah, we misfired here, and the wide receiver room is a clear problem. And I think that, you know, Bean will address it at one point or another, you know, going forward, whether the season they pull it out of the abyss or not, that this was a miscalculation. They're almost certainly going to invest into it this offseason, likely deeply. I think the most interesting thing, though, that's happened this season, it happened, I want to say, 3-4 weeks ago, when I think you guys talked about it briefly, but when Bean, I mean, you expect him to. He's going to say this is a championship roster. I thought the most telling quote of the entire season was what Sean McDermott did not say about that in the same vein. He did not call this a championship team. He actually completely punted on the question. Mm-hmm. And you can call that job preservation. You can call it whatever you want. But if you're looking at this roster critically, I think like we all do, and say, hey, look, there's a clear talent gap here. Maybe Occam's razor is Sean McDermott also thinks that there's a clear talent gap at a lot of these positions. And those guns are going to point at each other one time. It's either coming now, it's coming in a few weeks. Hopefully they figure something out schematically and can work with the personnel that they have. But I think you're also starting to see, kind of pulling on that thread a little.
Yep.
Maybe the head coach and the GM not on the same page.
Sounds right. Travis Yost from TSN. So you slipped in a comment about the NHL's Eastern Conference. What did we find out yesterday? 16 teams separated by 9 points. The Sabres have 60 games to go. I said to Paul Hamilton, well, they haven't, you know, blown their season. And he's like, well, he didn't really like that. But they haven't. I mean, they've got 60 games left, and they're a handful. They're a hot week out of a playoff spot. Yes, I know there are lots of teams that are also that. Are you optimistic for the Sabres here, Travis? Thompson is scoring. Dahlin is back. Norris is coming. Lukanen is looking good. A couple of guys are surprises. Samuelson is somebody that we didn't really like, but he's been good, I think. What does it look like to you?
Samuelson's been a little more than good. I think that's been one of the biggest surprises of the season. Sabres outscoring teams 22-13 with him on the ice this year. I mean, you get that. And I know he's going to spend some time now with Dahlin, which is definitely going to help a little bit. But you know what the fascinating thing to me is? I mean, there's a clear connection between, like, the AFC. It's like, who's really good here? And the Eastern Conference, which is probably worse, to be honest. I mean, absent, like, Carolina and a healthy New Jersey, I think when we did our season preview, actually, I said one of the biggest tailwinds the Sabres have has nothing to do with the Sabres. That breakdown in the Atlantic Division, Tampa, Boston, Toronto, and a Florida team that is still fantastic but very injured, like, there was a clear recipe, and it has played out exactly that way, that these teams, these legacy teams that have had a vice grip on that division, were going to regress. Not only have they regressed, they have regressed heavily. I mean, Toronto and Boston are just miserable watches right now in all the good ways if you're a Sabres fan. And that has kept the door open for the Sabres. And by the way, drawing more Sabres-Bills parallels, like, I think there's some argument to be a little more optimistic about the Sabres right now. Like, we've talked about this. There is talent across this lineup, but the 900-pound gorilla in the room was always, are they going to get the goaltending, right? And I think, you know, in the season, in the preview, we were talking about, hey, could Alex Lyon be a guy? And I'm like, well, he's a guy. He's probably a Jag, but you know how goalies are in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And he's actually been one of the brightest spots at the position across the entire league to start the year. Lukanen's put together a few good games. I wouldn't be willing to put many chips on the table in that respect. But, like, as long as the goaltending can hold up, and now you've got guys coming back from injury. Sounds like Josh Norris is super close if he's coming back this weekend. Greenway coming back to the third or fourth line. Like, this is a talented roster. They lose Peterka, who's been fantastic in Utah, but they get Josh Doan, who's also been fantastic in the top six. This is a team, and they have done it for a few years now, that can play with a lot of teams at even strength. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the league at even strength. I think one of the fascinating wrinkles to me in terms of, like, what does it look going forward for the Sabres, and can they actually drive themselves into the top three, top four in the division, is, number one, will the goaltending hold up? I think that is a you can't understate how – that's a question for every team in the league, but it remains the biggest question for the Sabres by 100 miles, because it's just a position they haven't invested in. They're doing it with journeymen and guys who really have been up and down, and maybe up and down as a compliment to a guy like Lukanen at this point in his career. The second piece of it is – What is going on defensively? Because I'm having, you know, the Sabres, perhaps more than any team in the league, will trade goals right now. They're scoring goals like crazy. Top five scoring offense at even strength in the league. I think they're last or close to last in goals against at even strength. Yet they have the best penalty kill in the league, which is a disconnect that you usually don't typically see. You know, good defense begets good defense everywhere. Good goaltending typically begets good goaltending everywhere. Having a bottom five defense at even strength, and it looks that way. It's not just in the goals against. I mean, they can be sloppy in the defensive zone on their bad days. Coupled with a penalty kill that's given up like 4 or 5 goals per 60 minutes, I mean, which is insanely good. That's Carolina Hurricanes good. I don't know where that divergence ends up, mm-hmm. but if they can just be an average defensive team with average goaltending, they have the offensive talent to ice a playoff roster and play in a game 83. And I know that sounds absolutely insane considering how long the playoff drought has been ongoing for the Sabres, but this is not an untalented roster, especially when you've got guys like Thompson at the top of the lineup, Tuck at the top of the lineup, Norris coming back, and you really just need to cross your fingers for the injury luck there. But this is a talented team, and if never a time before, there is just not a lot of competition in the East, and this is the opportunity. I know the Sabres are on a pretty big road trip here coming up. They've got to make some headway here. The road has been a disaster for them, both in years past and this season. got to make some headway. Regulation losses can't be the way forward. And again, I think all the opportunity lie in front of this organization.
Yeah, I think it's 8 of the next 10 are on the road, and they only have one road win so far this year. It was an overtime game in Detroit where Thompson just went beast mode at the end of regulation. And
after we all turned the game off.
One other factor that you did not mention there, Travis, is Tuck and a contract extension. The latest reporting, maybe late last week on that, I saw from Pierre LeBrun, indicated that from what he'd heard, the Sabres have not been willing to get to $10 million or above on an annual average value on a contract for Tuck, which just seems impossible to rectify. There's an argument to be made that a player at his age signing an 8-year contract at that kind of money is going to end up badly. But in the short term, the position the Sabres are in, their alternatives are what? Shop him and trade him away? I mean, close up shop. I mean, he's from Syracuse, for crying out loud. Like, watch Max Afinogenoff as a kid. Like, he was the face of, we want guys who want to be here. So they need to figure that out, because that's just looming on the horizon here at some point.
Yeah, I mean, two stories here, right? Yeah, I mean, if it goes sideways the next 2-3 months, you have to move on from him, because he is a player that can corral so much at the trade deadline. But your point is totally spot on. Not only is he such a good organizational fit, not only is he a very productive two-way player, he plays very well with Tage Thompson. I mean, that first line is one of the more fun lines to watch in the league. Another line that's like 8 or 9 goals better than the opposition this year, a key reason why the Sabres have stayed afloat in the division. I think it'd be very – and by the way, like, I am the last person, I promise, the last person to say, hey, overcommit on a guy because the salary cap's going up, because I killed the Maple Leafs when they did it with the core four, because this expectation that the salary cap's always going to grow 3 to 5% every single year, I think is a canard. And as soon as it does not, you're staring down the barrel of, oh no, we have zero cap flexibility. Look at the Edmonton Oilers are at right now, right, as one example. I think you have to swallow the pill here. And not just you can't really meet in the middle with Tuck, because he holds all the cards.
Right.
And he is going to get paid one way or another. And that cap flexibility argument that the Sabres should be making internally about, hey, look, if we miss here or we have to eat it on the back end, so be it, because our cap is relatively clean relative to most teams. There are plenty of teams in the league who have been dying for cap space who are going to start getting it in the next couple of years. And a guy like Tuck immediately slots into a top six. Your point is spot on, right? On a 7 or 8 year deal, I mean, the back end of that deal is almost certainly going to be rough, but he's 29, 30. I mean, he's got 3 years of playing prime at least right now, and mm-hmm. he fits well. He's played well. He's produced well. He's reliable in all three zones. I would have a very hard time, unless the Sabres completely vomit on themselves over the next 2-3 months. I think they have to find a path to getting the deal done here.
Can't rule it out, but canard is such a great word. The judge bulldog in the natural, that's a canard. What does that mean? A prevarication. What does that mean? A lie. So good. Travis, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for finding time for us.
Happy Thanksgiving. Go Bills, guys.
And listening on his bike.
Right. Love it.
Love it. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. It is not Football Friday. It is not even Friday. But we do have some of the Football Friday elements still to come today. Picks. Sal with the latest on the injuries and the Steelers game. We won't have a chance to talk with you about the game until it's over. We'll be on post-game, but this is it for us. 803-0550 to weigh in. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If we end up at 9-8, 8-9, 10-7, there's going to be a lot of unrest. If you're the Steelers, what do? You don't fire him, right? I mean, you don't. You can fire a guy. Like, let's say they tank here at the end and they go 7-10. First losing season in 19 years. You're going to tank? You're going to fire a guy after one losing season? The Steelers are not going to do that. So anything that happens is going to be on Mike's terms. But he is a prideful guy, and it's hard for me to imagine him going to another organization and having quite the run of the place as he does here.
Our guest from the AP in Pittsburgh just before, Will Graves. I mean, I guess I'll say again, I think we can relate. You know, it's not exactly the same. Tomlin has a ring. Like, that
right.
is permanent. And any conversation, this can be probably frustrating if you're like Andrew or somebody, but any conversation you have about the merits of keeping Mike Tomlin as your coach has to include that.
Right.
And what's the but? I mean, it's a long time ago is the but.
That's the but. And you can pay that some heed, or you can just blow past it because you're tired of standing still. You know, I think there's enough, you know, there are similarities and dissimilarities that are significant enough, but yet the whole thing sort of, the comparison works. Like, the existence is similar enough. Certainly within the fan base, there is, a frustration with a stagnation. Here it is at a tier. It's not the Super Bowl tier that Mike Tomlin achieved much earlier in his career, but it's a tier well above where the Steelers have routinely been since the Bills got good, really, and even going back further than that. Right? Have they not won a playoff game since what?
Well, they beat Alex Smith and the Chiefs would be their last. I believe that's their last playoff win. 15 maybe?
Okay.
I'll double check
that. I had
that.
16 in my head, so maybe that's in the ballpark. I think a lot of Bills fans that feel like it's never going to get any different here are feeling that same frustration. And, you know, getting further than the Steelers is not, you don't get to hang a banner for that, right?
You shouldn't.
No, you really would look bad if you did. So, you know, there's that, and then they're that close, but you don't have the ring to fall back on to say, like, you know, I know my guy has done it, you know, so stick with him. That's got to be getting hard to hear for for Steelers fans, you know, just like it's getting hard to hear for a lot of Bills fans. I think they're like, keep knocking on the door. It's the phrasing. I think McDermott and or Bean have at least one of them, if not both of them, have used that phrasing. We're going to just keep knocking on the door until we break it down. Okay. Find a key.
Well, yeah, find a key and then just open it.
Open the traditional door yourself. Don't knock it. You don't have to knock it down.
You don't have to go that hard at it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just like It's a lot when you've won. It's just, I mean, this doesn't even need to be a speech. It's just a lot in your pocket. It's just a lot of credibility, clout, status, all those things that you get. And McDermott doesn't have that. I tend to find, just, you know, sort of in a broader sense, the discussion about, well, he'll never win. For one reason or another, I mean, this might be you, this might be someone you know. It's definitely someone you know, if it isn't you, that will tell you the Bills will never win with McDermott. And why? I mean, a number of things that seem a little bit too technical for me. You know, this play call, the fake punt against the Chiefs, or it's like, I guess it's not cherry picking. Like, these are how their seasons have ended.
Yeah.
13 seconds, of course, is the mother of them all. But they can just tell you that, and that's kind of the end of the conversation, you know? Like, unless you really want to explore how much truth there is in that. It just hasn't happened yet. So with Tomlin or even John Harbaugh, I think that's the same too,
yep.
Is he has a Super Bowl, so there's only so much you can say. Well, you can't say he can't do it. And that's quarterbacks, you know, that's not just coaches.
Yep.
But, you know, to Will's point there about Tomlin, he's probably right that it will be up to Tomlin.
Right.
Because if it weren't, I mean, they're good enough this year that they're in that same lane. And it would be hard for me to think they would move on from him just, you know,
bluntly. Yeah, he would have to, well, what? He would have to find a better opportunity, maybe, right? Something that appeals to him. Maybe that's college or something. I don't know, like, at this point in his life, what he wants to do.
TV.
But he's got to find that. Or maybe, like, I don't know, is there a way that, like, the Steelers, like Art Rooney or whoever is running the – whichever Rooney would be the one that he would sit with to have this conversation with.
Ed Rooney.
Okay. 9 times. That was a terrible – it was a terrible effort.
It's never funny when anybody does that.
I know. And I just went ahead and stupidly
– You wanted me to know. You knew reference.
And I wanted our audience to know.
Yep.
And
that's
fine. It was unnecessary.
That makes sense.
I just – I wish it hadn't happened. Anyways, is there a conversation that happens between ownership and Tomlin where they're like, dude – don't you want to do something else? we love you. We don't, you know, we honor and respect everything you've helped us accomplish.
This right? happens in real life all the time.
But you know, if you're not going to leave, we would like to maybe encourage you to let us open the door. You know, like maybe have you thought about doing anything else? Could you please relieve this for us because. I totally agree with Will, too. I don't think ownership would have that in them, that they would, like, they finally have this losing season. And that's to even assume that they will have it. Like, maybe they won't, and, you know, this just goes on forever. But just we want to do something different, but we feel sort of stuck because we don't want to embarrass you. Just please leave. Would you please leave?
Well, I don't mean this in such a, you know, dramatic sense, but it's happened before. Sunday morning, 11:30, the Bills have played on Thursday night or play on Monday night. I'm on my couch with my lineups and maybe even a beer already, seeing the day, a 10-hour gorge fest of watching the NFL. And, you know, I'll just ask my wife, are you sure you don't want to take the kids to Letchworth today and go on a hike? Are you sure you don't want to do that? I mean, you really
right.
think about how pretty it is this time of
yeah.
year. Like, are you sure you really? It's not going to be this warm for much longer.
Right.
You probably want to go to Letchworth today. And they're going to love it. I mean, take Margo.
Sure. Yeah.
Take Margo to Letchworth.
There you are.
Take everybody. Take them all. Leave. Are you sure? Please leave. Are you sure you don't want to do that? I don't even mean, like, Lewiston. I'm talking, you know, a day. You make a whole day
right.
out of it.
Yep.
I think that would be really great for you.
Dinner at a little diner in Warsaw.
Why don't you find a diner in Warsaw?
Hit up Mount Morris. Just make the rounds.
I think there's a special on
Upper Falls, Middle Falls, Lower Falls.
Get your Christmas shopping in.
That whole other end of the park that I never seem to get to because I always just end up at the falls.
You've been to the Glen Iris Inn. Have you been to that?
Yeah, that's by the falls.
Oh, it is? Okay.
So, sure. Yes, I have.
I don't know my Letchworth. I thought of it.
I don't either. I know that.
You know your Ferris Bueller.
I know that part of the. I know that part of the park. That's all I know.
You know your Ferris Bueller's day off.
I never get anywhere really else. I don't know. I don't even know how that works.
I don't know what's in Tomlin's brain, but he's four wins away from Noel. I think be kind of a power move to be like, yeah, I don't need that. I don't really care about
Stop
that.
Stop one short.
Yeah, I don't need 200. I don't need to pass Chuck. I don't. Whatever. Like that Calgary goalie said the other night. Everybody's going to die. Just, you know, what? Who cares?
He's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. Maybe a little bit of a poorly timed reference here from the prostate cancer screening event. Roswell Park is here at KeyBank Center today.
I've got the
they've got walk-ins going
coming up this break.
Until 6:30. You want to come if you've already registered, of course. That's great, too. But the event goes until 7. And, again, walk-ins are invited until 6:30. We will take a break. The Bills have signed Brandon Cooks. We'll get into that as we continue here this afternoon. Paul Hamilton will join at 6 with a Sabres report. Sabres in Pittsburgh themselves, their next game tomorrow night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
ABBA. 8-bit ABBA. Gotta love it. Paul Hamilton, ABBA fan. That was the point. I think that's why we made that association, because Paul loves his ABBA.
You've nailed that.
Has that held up, Paul? Is it still like ABBA time in your house every so often?
You know, I have all sorts of things on my listening device, all sorts of music. There's a little ABBA on there, so there's all sorts of different things on there. Things
Do you ever
surprise
just
you
like...
and things would that not surprise you.
Okay. You ever just sort of like let it ride, shuffle all your liked songs, whatever you get, you get. That you're not in a certain mood necessarily. You're just going to, because there's a wide, we all have this probably, Bulldog maybe not as much, a wide range of genres.
What kind of thing is that to say to me, that I don't have a wide range of genres?
Because
I don't like Journey, I don't have a wide range of genres?
Well, I can't see you listening to, like, classical music or...
That's fair. It's not something I do a lot
yacht
of.
Rock.
You're not coming to the Journey final concert, whatever that mess is that
listen,
they have coming?
Final Frontier.
I don't want to get into all this again. I respect that. It's just not my thing. No. No. I'm not going to go. No. Yacht Rock. Listen, I've thrown a Steely Dan album on in the attic, and I sit there. It's a battle because I feel myself. I'm like, really dig this. I'm singing along. What is happening to me? Stop it. Go do something else. Because I feel like I don't want to like Steely Dan.
It's only barely yacht rock
but it's,
anyway.
It's, you know, whatever. So, you know.
It's not like the schmaltzy kind of yacht rock that I think more defines the genre. Steely Dan is more interesting.
Musically, they are extremely interesting. Yes.
All right. How many Sam Spence? Sorry, Paul. Just one more. How many Sam Spence songs do you have in your on your list? I've got like 30. NFL Films. See, that's another one. That's what I meant. I can't see you.
In. That's absolutely
NFL Films.
You're right. I'm sorry. I objected so vigorously.
I certainly respect your taste.
I understand what you're getting at.
That's all.
Well, Bulldog.
It's not weird.
When you finished watching the Bills movie the other day, followed by the Chiefs movie, which is on right afterwards, are you hooked on Hallmark now, or did you just sit all night and watch the rest of the movies that were on?
I don't even want to continue this line of inquiry.
Did you watch it? Was it out?
It's out. I have not. I'm happy for all of the people that I know, and I know a number of people who were involved. And, like, good for them. I sent in an audition reel to the guy that reached out to me. I went for it. So I'm not No.
What
I'm
about
not watching.
Paul, have you seen it?
I have, yes. I've seen both.
What's your review?
I thought they did a really nice job of portraying Bills Mafia and Bills fans. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too schmaltzy, as I'll use the word that Mike just used.
Yes.
It was, you know, the typical Hallmark schmaltzy, but it didn't go overboard with it. And, I think they did a really – and it was something – I saw an interview with the Stars, and they really, really, really wanted to do it justice, you know, for that Buffalo fans would say, hey, you guys did a good job. And they said at the premiere they got a lot of comments from the fans that they felt that they portrayed it the right way.
Good.
All right.
All right, now to the Sabres, who are on a little bit of a roll. Impressive game. Well, 9 goals. Friday was fun, impressive. And then I think Bulldog said himself just a little while ago, the Carolina win impressed you more because that's just a quality team that can be tough, you know, on the road, that kind of thing. What are you thinking, Paul? Like, are they're getting a little bit healthier? I mean, it's looking up a little bit here.
Yeah, and 4 out of 5, I mean, the Detroit game in its own mind, in its own sense, rather, was impressive the way they did it. So they've had, to me, 3 impressive wins, but all in different ways. But, Norris, I thought maybe since he had his own line today with Benson and Ostlund that he was basically telling us he's playing tomorrow, and he was alternating it on the number one power play with Benson. But he is not, but I would probably be surprised if I didn't see him on the weekend. He's that close. He really, and Lindy Ruff said he's not ruling out the weekend. It's 3 and 4. So, you know, for sure he's not playing 3 and 4, probably not even playing back to back. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him maybe Friday and Monday, you know, something like that. But I would be surprised if we don't see him on the weekend. He seems like he's right there, ready to play.
Winnipeg is here Monday night.
I'm pretty intrigued by that line that he was on. But now that, you know, we know he's not going to play tomorrow, I'm wondering if that was just like a get through the practice placeholder kind of line, or if that is something that Lindy Ruff would want to take out for a spin.
Yeah, Dunn was there. I mean, and Dunn would be the one that was out of the lineup if Norris was going in from the lineup of the Carolina game. So he maybe wanted to see it. And I've been kicking this around with Brian and anybody who wants to kick it around with me. You know, what do you do now when he's ready to come back? Because I've really liked the Thompson, Tuck, and Doan line. Those three players have all taken off in this little winning streak. And Thompson has a personal high, his goals in six straight games. He is now back on a 45-goal pace.
Yep.
You know, for a while he was on a 29-goal pace. And so I don't think I'd be too big of a rush to break that line up. So now you've got Norris with Benson, who were together. Who do you put on the right wing? My thought was Quinn. That I thought that just might be something that gets Quinn scoring goals the way I, when he was younger, thought he could do in the National Hockey League, playing with a guy like Norris. So that was my thought, that might be a pretty good combination.
Yeah, I'm prepared at this point. Like, I think we know the reason why Thompson got moved to wing in the first place. Like, it was around this time last year, I think, right? Ruff was talking about both he and Cousins. Like, if they can't handle what, you know, what needs to be done in this system from that position, then we're going to have to make a change, and they made a change, right? So there goes Thompson to the wing, and that went well enough that you wanted to keep going with it. But, you know, injuries have forced their hand. It's working for now. It's always a pivot they can make later, I suppose. But I'm not inclined to mess with Doan, Thompson, and Tuck right now.
Well, Ruff said that the numbers would tell you Thompson is a better player on the wing than at center. But he said you also have to take into account who he's been playing with. And he goes, I think that matters. He goes, a lot of the time he was on the wing, you know.
Without Norris, right.
Right, yeah. Right. So, you know, then he went to center, and he seems to have flourished again. So that's one of the reasons he gave for leaving him on the wing last year. He just said the numbers would tell you that's where he belongs. But he goes, all of a sudden you had a need here, and it's worked out very well.
Yeah, some of those numbers I imagine are like all around, like defensive metrics, that kind of stuff. Because that is, I think, like to circle all the way back here to the original point, that's why Thompson got bumped out of center in the first place. And I guess until that becomes a problem again that they can't live with, that's not offset by the rest of the lineup and Thompson himself specifically performing, then I think I would want to just ride with it for a while here and see where we land. Because it does, you remember, like, going all the way back to Don Granato's idea to pull Thompson off the wing, it's one of my favorite all-time hockey coach commentaries was, well, the walls sort of defend him, and he's in the middle, and he can use his reach on both sides. It's just that there's a lot more there that you're just losing out on if, you know, one of the boundaries defending him is the wall. So I still think that makes sense. It's just a matter of whether you can live with the defensive shortcomings that
I think Thompson
are going to crop up.
Finally admitted that he feels more comfortable at center. He's never admitted that. He's always said he'll play where he's needed, and he has scored goals on the wing.
Yep.
It's not like he stopped scoring goals over there or whatever, but he finally admitted when he went back over there and kind of got out of this funk that he had been in for quite a while. Well, he took over that Detroit game, went to the middle and took it over.
Yeah.
I mean, and has played great ever since. He's been Tage Thompson again. So, yeah, there's no reason to move him.
A big part of Friday night was Tuck and the four assists he had. And, Paul, you and I had a lengthy conversation on pregame about where he had been this year and the contract. And, you know, you're starting to wonder if that is looming over not only him but the entire team, you know, collectively. Like, what are we doing here? Are we going to pay our guy? Are we going to trade our guy? Just fold the tent and go home. And boy, I mean, it must have been a big relief, I think, for everyone to see him
have the night he had on Friday.
Yeah, I was really bugging him and talking to him after the game. He said, I felt more like myself finally. He goes, I just haven't felt like myself out on the ice. And when that happens, you start pressing, and then you start doing things that are not good for the team or yourself, and then it turns into just bad, bad things, and that's the way it's been. But, you know, ever since he started to feel more comfortable, did you notice now that, you know, he's stripping people the puck again, which that wasn't happening, you know, and causing turnovers and, you know, getting transition going the other way. All those things, you know, happening. And, you know, Doan fits right into this group because when those two are playing like that, now Doan, he's always going to be around the net. He's always going to be in on the forecheck and winning battles. And, you know, that's the way he goes. And, by the way, his numbers and J.J. Paterka's numbers are pretty close.
Yeah,
closer
right.
than Utah bargained for when they made the trade. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he does look like a nice find. I mean, if this team gets good, that guy is going to be he's going to be popular.
He's going to be a kingpin.
Like it,
yeah.
It's already happened, but they got to get
see
to
that
a level where
camp. if he, because they talked about how him, you know, reaching, you know, he has an upside, you know, and Paterka has 9 goals and 7 assists for 16 points, and Doan has 7 goals and 8 assists for 15 points. And I don't think that's what Utah was counting on when they traded for J.J. Paterka, that he and Doan would be almost identical in their numbers. And, you know, Doan also, don't forget, he just hadn't scored in the National Hockey League level. He had in the American Hockey League. I mean, you know, with Tucson in 2023-24, he scored 26 right. goals in 62 games. And then in another 11 in 28 games last year. So it's just a question, can you now carry that over to the National Hockey League?
Right, and we really haven't seen a lot. He's got a very – he's in that Paterka shot. Paterka's got a very high level, almost Olofsson-level shot, I would say.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Doan doesn't have that, but we have not really seen – but he does have a very – I'd say above-average NHL wrist shot, Doan has. But mostly his goals are – they're around the net. I'm going to the net. And I'm gonna be here to shovel stuff in, or if it bounce in off me, or whatever. And that's his credit too. But I guess I'm just saying there's a skill set there still that I don't think we've seen from him.
When
so
I was doing my homework, on Doan, a lot of people were saying to me he's got a great shot. I don't think we saw it until Tuck sent him in on that 2-on-1 the other night, and then he ripped it and just roofed it under the crossbar. Goaltender, you know, didn't have a chance. That was the first time. There's that shot I heard about. He just wired that thing, and it had some juice on it. But he's not like Paterka, like that kind of shot. But if their numbers are going to be like their goal and assist numbers are going to be fairly similar, I'll take Josh Doan. I mean, Josh Doan can play in the defensive zone.
100%.
He can win battles on the forecheck. He's around the net. The only thing that J.J. Paterka has on him is a shot, and probably by the end of the day is going to score more goals than Josh Doan is. But I quite honestly think I would rather have Josh Doan than J.J. Paterka. I think I can already say that, and I probably will still say that next year and the year after.
Luukkonen looking up, Paul?
He is. I mean, his last 5 games – his numbers aren't bad. Now, they all aren't starts. The one was he played most of the game because Lyon only played 6 minutes and got pulled.
Colorado, right?
Right. Yeah. But Lukanen's 3-2 in his last 5 appearances. He has a 2.42 goals against and a .910 save percentage. So, you know, he's kind of rounding into form. I thought the last game against Carolina will just rip shots from anywhere. They're a shot volume team. And that's what happened in the third period when the shots were, I believe, 13-4. But I thought I never once in a 3-1 game said to myself, uh-oh, the Sabres are in trouble. Because Luukkonen was solid. He was stopping, you know, the long shots, you know, holding on to the rebounds. If he had one from in front, he made the save on that one. But how many great A's really did they have in the third period? Maybe one or two, maybe. But I never thought to myself, boy, they are in trouble. They're hanging back here. It's just that's what Carolina does. They shoot the puck from anywhere.
that's what was so impressive to me about that win, Paul, is that it wasn't a hang on. It was a just close it out. And there's a difference.
Yeah, get it to the garage, as you like to say. And that was a perfect game where they got it to the garage, you know, without any damage being done to them.
How about the blue line, Paul? I mean, Dahlin, is he settled right back in here and it's almost like he never left?
Yeah, I mean, he played those four games, coming back from Sweden at 7 assists. Actually had a goal, but the NHL, for whatever reason, didn't think that was a goal, but I thought it was. I don't even think there was any question, but anyway. Offensively, he's been good. Samuelson, as a partner with him, they've both been good. Samuelson is like a shot-blocking machine. Dahlin, you know, every now and then he gets a little too carried away and turns the puck over, and he kind of, his numbers are a little high that way. But overall, I mean, ever since he's been back from Sweden and got a chance to see his fiance and have some appointments, you know, life appointments, you know, things that the two of them need to know for the rest of her life. I mean, he came back. I haven't seen like that. I can't tell you the last time I saw him like that. He was just all smiles and all positivity, and that had to rub off on his teammates, you know, also to say, you know, look at Raz. He's doing good. Everything's going well, and he's doing good, and I think he just needed to go back and see it for himself and participate in those. And the Sabres would never admit this, but knowing that Dahlin had to go back and do that at some point, that was the time to do it. Because you're not winning in Colorado. You probably aren't winning in Utah. I mean, you're not winning in Carolina, even with him out there. So let him go do that. You're going to lose those games anyway. And, he's back for the Detroit game, and they turn it around and win it.
Last thing, Paul, quickly, I'm sure you've noticed, the standings are amazing. Division, conference, all 16 teams in the East are within 9 points. Top to bottom in the Sabres division is 28-21. So 60 games left. I mean, the season did not get away from them.
Well, I might push back a little bit on that. They still have 7 teams to leapfrog. To get over, that's tough, even though that's only 4 points to get to the playoffs. I mean, if they were 7 points behind it in ninth place, I wouldn't even worry about it. Yeah, you can make up 7 points on one team. That's fine. Because it took them to – they had to get 4 wins and 8 points just to get out of the cellar. That's what it took to get out of the cellar.
Yeah, right.
You know, and they got by – at that point, they got by both the Leafs and the Rangers. The Rangers won last night, so now they're tied with the Rangers. But as far as I go by points percentage, because it takes the games in hand out of the equation. So they're both 500. The Leafs are 477. The next team is Columbus at 543, which is 3 points ahead of the Sabres, or points percentage 543 to 500. I mean, the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're in ninth place. You're playing them tomorrow. They're right there. But the problem is you've done all this mostly at home. Now your 8 out of 10 games are on the road. You've won one game on the road, and you were darn lucky you won that one. That was the last game against Detroit where you were down by 3, and all of a sudden you started playing the way you were capable of playing, and you were able to come back and win a hockey game. But the road has not been good to the Buffalo Sabres. They're 1-5-2, and 8 are their next 10. So what happens now? Do you lose everything that you've just gained by picking up those 8 points quickly? Or have you figured it out? How many times have we said that in 14 years? Have they figured it out in this streak? Have they really figured it out? And then,
this seems like a really good place to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Prepare for us to be confused for the rest of the year about that.
Right.
That's probably what will happen.
All right, Paul. Safe travels to Pittsburgh, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, guys.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His appearances with us here on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
A little more, actually, on the Sabres with our guest from earlier today, Will Graves. Sabres at Penguins tomorrow night, but then, of course, much of our conversation is focused on Bills Steelers. So that's coming your way next. We are at KeyBank Center for the Sabres and Roswell Park Prostate Cancer Screening Event. No time left for walk-ins, but they'll be going here until 7 if you have happen to have registered already. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog back after this timeout. This is WGR.
It's Mike Schope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back to KeyBank Center. The Sabres are not playing tonight, but we're here for the Sabres and Roswell Park prostate cancer screening events. Thanks for listening. Joining us now on the Western Hotline is Will Graves. At the risk of seeming obvious, of course we would call Will with the Sabres playing the Penguins tomorrow. So we want extensive coverage on an extensive preview from Will on the hockey game.
You better open some other windows on your laptop.
You know what? Actually, though, Will, like the Sabres, we spend plenty of time on the Sabres. We've said for a long time, I think, Bulldog, not that we've had this conversation recently, but that maybe GR spends more time on hockey than any radio station in the United States. So, no, don't worry, though. We're not going to press you on Penguins questions.
Well, I cover the Pens, too. I'll just say they're, you know, they got off to a hot start. They come back to earth a little bit over the last month, and I think get to be seen whether they're the team that was really good in October or the team that's been pretty mid in November. I think tomorrow night against the Sabres, kind of a litmus test for sort of their progress. So,
all right.
There you go.
Look, same thing.
We're parked here temporarily. Maybe standing. We got the four-ways on, but I'll just squeeze this in. I've only seen the Penguins a couple of times this year, Will. I watch a lot of hockey, and I noticed right away this year Malkin was getting, like, point total was just outrageous to start the season. And I thought, that there's no way that's going to last. It's got to be someone just shooting percentages through the roof or something. Then I saw him play, and I thought he was moving around the ice like it was 5 years ago. Has he found a time machine?
I think he's found I kind of want to make some more money doing this because I'm not going to find another job that's going to pay me this much. You know, I mean, he's a prideful guy too, right? He is, he's not been playing up to his standards. A pretty steep fall off the second half of last year. He looks healthy. He's playing healthy and, you know, and he's playing a little bit of defense, which, you know, is not really his thing. So, I think if you're a contending team and you get to the trade deadline and the Penguins sort of this, what we've seen the last 3 weeks sort of continues, it'll be very interesting to sort of see, you know, what the club does with Gino at that point.
Okay, well, Will, to the main purpose of our call here, this game coming up on Sunday, what's your, if it's worth exploring, vibe on Rodgers, his injury. I was surprised, like maybe most people, that he didn't play in Chicago, especially considering how much winning he's done in his career against the Bears.
Well, I mean, and considering how much, I mean, like the team said he was limited in practice, and I guess they get to set the parameters of that. I would say, in having covered the team 14 years now, like that was the most active limited participant I've seen in a practice in a long time. So I was surprised too. You know, they talked about safety being an issue. I actually asked Mike today, you know, sort of as a follow-up, was safety the final, deciding factor here? The fact that maybe he couldn't necessarily protect himself if he gets knocked around a little bit and he might sidestep the questions, because that's what happens when you lose 4 of 6, you sidestep the questions. you know, I would expect him to be available this week. He's been, you know, he's been good-ish. You know, he hasn't been, you know, he had a clunker against, you know, the Chargers on Sunday Night Football a few weeks ago, and then had a pretty good first half against the Bengals and then got hurt, and Mason Rudolph came in and everything was fine. Mason played last weekend, everything was not fine, but the issue in that game, in my opinion, was not the play of Mason Rudolph. I mean, I think that the Steelers, you know, their formula has been changed. It's just the faces, right? And I think the fans here are getting really sort of tired because the formula leads you to 9-8 and 10-7 every year. It's control the ball, try to win the turnover battle, hope that you get a break or two and win every game 20-17. And, you know, the reality for this group is that Rodgers has been fine. He's actually, you know, I think he might be a little bit off. He was actually on pace to set the, you know, to break Ben Roethlisberger's franchise record for touchdown passes in a season when he got hurt, right? Wow. So he's been productive. Their scoring's up. They're almost in the top 10 in scoring, considering they're 28th in yards. That's pretty remarkable, right? I think a lot of that has to do with Rodgers' decision-making. But the reality is this team poured a lot of money into its defense, and that defense on a given week, you have no idea what you're going to get, but most of the time it's not going to be great.
Yeah, the story, I'm not entirely surprised to hear that about Rodgers and the touchdown passes, because a lot of the book so far this year seems to be like red zone, he's getting the ball out fast, and they're productive down there. It's more like between the 20s that is the trouble with the passing game.
Well, and you know, and I asked Mike, you know, I asked Mike this today too. And one thing they really have been unable to do is stretch the field vertically. When they have gotten yards, almost all of it has been catch and run stuff, right? There was the fact that I can pinpoint like two down the field throws that connected and were in week 12, and those are the only two that jump out. There was one against Roman Wilson against the Seahawks in week 2, and then I think Wilson again, it was against the Packers, I believe. They can't get anything downfield, so we have to go 75 yards in 16 plays and hope you don't have a bunch of penalties and convert a bunch of third downs. And that is asking a lot of your offense over the course of a season, and they have sort of really been unable to break that, you know, kind of break out of that. That's kind of where they've been. I mean, you know, like Metcalf is getting double covered, and the other guys, Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, have been unable to sort of be consistent difference makers to make defenses go, you know what, we're not going to throw two guys at DK Metcalf on every snap. So, and especially now, I mean, you know, this week, DK, look, he gutted it out last week, hobbled, played the second half on basically one leg and didn't do much. If he is less than 80% for them, it's going to be I know the Bills defense has sort of had its issues this year, but it is hard for me to see the Steelers coming out there and lighting it up.
That is interesting. Yeah, I mean, all those touchdown passes, and Metcalf has been a small, he's got five at least, but a small, you know, part of that maybe relative to what you would have expected if you knew 21 TD passes, fourth in the league. With Will Graves from the AP in Pittsburgh. Will, there's some discussion online today about Mike Tomlin's future. I guess there always is.
There's discussion every day about Mike Tomlin's
yes.
future.
Right. Maybe this comes from a more informed place today. Do you think what might you think the odds are that he's not back?
Everything ends, right? It just like, but they signed him, you know, the last extension that he got, which I believe was before last season. You'll remember very memorably, my good friend Brooke Pryor at ESPN, after they lost to the Bills in the wild card game, asked him about his status, and he stormed off like a toddler, right?
Right.
And that's because his people were putting feelers out there to try to put pressure that, oh, he might be interested in going somewhere else, to try to put pressure on, you know, Art Rooney to kind of get a new contract done for Mike that was more to his liking. And it did. So it's hard for me to imagine him walking away from, you know, $30 million over the next couple of years. He's a prideful guy. He's going to pay, you know, there's a chance if they get 10 wins this year, he'll pass Chuck Knoll for the most wins in franchise history. I mean, you know, I understand that the scheduled game, you know, seasons are longer, et cetera. There's more opportunities, but still, that's a pretty remarkable thing. The idea that he would walk away with a, quote, failed season is hard for me to, you know, it's really, really hard for me to fathom. But you know what the flip side of that is? His kids are grown. His youngest is a sophomore at Georgia. His boys are out of the house. You know, he's not old by any standards. He's, what, 53?
53.
But I could certainly see him, you know, embracing a new challenge. I can tell you that the fan base here, if we end up at 9-8, 8-9, 10-7, there's going to be a lot of unrest. But I mean, if you're the Steelers, what do you do? You don't fire him, right? I mean, you don't. You can fire a guy. Like, let's say they tank here at the end and they go 7-10, first losing season in 19 years. You're going to tank? You're going to fire a guy after one losing season? The Steelers are not going to do that. So anything that happens is going to be on Mike's terms. But he is a prideful guy, and it's hard for me to imagine him going to another organization having quite the run of the place as he does here.
It's got to really be a restless fan base at this point with him specifically. Like, I feel like he probably appears like an impediment to them ever really starting over. Like getting, it's just been since Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, they drafted Pickett, and Rudolph was a draft pick too, and they've taken turns, but it's always just sort of your name here, whatever the best veteran idea we can come up with, plug them in, and we're going to keep going. And they've just been living in this sort of,
right.
You know, they're not awful, they're not great.
It's a purgatory of their own making, yeah. Of sorts, right? Because they signed Rodgers because he was their best option to make them competitive this year, which, you know, he has done, right? He has been okay. You know, I would have rolled with Mason Rudolph, and either one or two things happen. Either you somehow find lightning in a bottle, or you go, you know, 5-12 and you're picking fifth in the draft and you get your guy. I still think they're going to do everything they can when the draft is here in Pittsburgh in April to get whatever quarterback they view. And the reality is the field that looked stacked 6 months ago doesn't look quite so stacked now. There's some faces have emerged. I talked a little bit with some people in their front office. There are guys that they weren't necessarily penciling in back in June that now in November look a little more intriguing. You know, I mean, that. So you guys talk about purgatory. I mean, it's an interesting thing. Like, when you look at the roster of quarterbacks that they've rolled through and the fact that he has continued to keep them competitive and finish above 500, that's got to be coaching, right? But if you keep hitting – but if you sort of – by doing this, you're unable to identify, and look, they misfired on Kenny Pickett pretty badly. You know, if you continue to sort of run this route and you never get the guy, I mean, everybody, you know, if you speculate like what you're talking about, so just Jimmy Anderson tweet about a long-tenure coach that might be looking for another gig, and you go down the roster of guys that have been around a while, right? Well, Sean McDermott now being one of them, right? Well, what does Sean McDermott have? What does John Harbaugh have? What does, you know, Andy Reid have? They have franchise quarterbacks. You're not going to leave that sort of situation, right? I mean, I think if they had a guy that they felt comfortable in, we would be having a different conversation. And the reality is, you know, in this league, look, if you don't have a guy back there, if you just have somebody, and they've basically had somebody since Ben Roethlisberger came back from his elbow injury in 2020, you know, you're not going to break through. Not in this era when there are so many good teams with really good quarterbacks out there. So it's a tight spot. Like, you want to give them credit for keeping them competitive. The flip side of that is, you know, they've been good but not nearly good enough to what they consider to be the standard here, right? So it's, you know, it's never boring, but it is monotonous at the same time.
Well put. You know, McDermott is a version of this, Will. Like, he's the fourth longest tenured coach in the league now, current job. Tomlin, Harbaugh, Reed, McDermott, I think, is the top four. And while the Bills have advanced farther than the Steelers in the last 5 years, if not every year, most years, we have the same thesis.
There's a restlessness.
Like,
yeah.
What do you want to do? Just kind of run it back every year? And some would subscribe to the thinking that, like, you guys, you know, they sort of want to shake you and be like, no, this is the best you're going to be. You've got this. This is a problem. And I think the Bills have a history, too. It's not quite the Steelers' history. There's no six championships or anything. But they probably, I mean, maybe in a different way, appreciate what McDermott has meant and what he's brought to this organization, and might feel a little bit more. And they've had more success in the last 5 years, like I said, but might feel more beholden to him. I think McDermott could probably, or sometimes I think this anyway, he could probably just, you know, blank check, given how it's gone for him here.
Well, and certainly, and I mean, you know, I think the irony is the season is sort of playing out the way that, like, the Steelers and the Bills hoped, where the Ravens have not been very good. Obviously, like, they were missing Lamar for a chunk of that time, but even, like, they were kind of tooth and nail with the Jets well into the second half on Sunday, right? And the Chiefs are certainly looked, at least for this year, that they're not sort of maybe their vintage selves. That doesn't mean they're not going to get it together. But there's an opening at the top of the conference, right? And I think if you would ask the Bills fans and the Steelers fans, hey, you know what, in week 12, the Chiefs are going to be 6-5 and the Ravens are going to be 6-5. They would like their chances to sort of be above them in their, you know, in sort of the conference, in sort of the shape of the conference, and they'd be feeling pretty good about themselves. And it hasn't really worked out. I mean, the Bills are, as you guys well know, they've been okay, but they've got their flaws, and the right. flaws don't seem to be getting any better as we get to Thanksgiving. And it's kind of the same with the Steelers. So, it's I understand the restlessness. I would much rather have Josh Allen than be where the Steelers are at. I can tell you that much. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a real challenge for that defense on Sunday. I just think that, Josh has toyed with them basically the last three times, three of the last four times they've played. And then the one that the Steelers won was that weird season opener in 21 which week one's always weird. And then, there was a block punt for a touchdown, TJ had some crazy play on Allen late. I mean, that's a little more the unknown. I think the known now is sort of out there on the Steelers. I would think that Josh would, and Cook should be able to have a pretty successful day. But, I mean, I asked Mike Tomlin today, does the playoffs start? Because if you look, their next 2 weeks, it's the Bills here, then it's at the Ravens. If they lose both of those games, the path to the playoffs is almost impossible to see, right?
Interesting.
And he's like, I always feel like that. And I'm like, come on, man, this isn't week two, right? I think this is the Steelers' season, in these next, 10, 11 days. And it's just hard to predict because, they can occasionally look great. I mean, they're the last team to beat the Patriots, but let's remember they needed five turnovers to make that happen. They won by a touchdown. They had 200 yards of total offense. They got two of those turnovers at the goal line as the Pats were going in for scores, right? So yep. I'm more of the – I'm not going to be doom and gloom, but I think the Steelers are more what we've seen the last 6 weeks. And even one of those wins, again, against a good team in the Colts. What did the Colts do? They turned it over six times. Are they going to do that again this year? No. So, the problem with the Steelers is they don't see the punter enough. They don't see the other team's punter enough. Either they get stops or they get a turnover or the other team scores. And that is not, Josh Allen is not going to be as sloppy with the football as some of these other teams they've played. And it's just going to be a very tough road to go for Pittsburgh.
Well, you mentioned the Bills have faced their share of challenges, and we saw on Thursday them really struggle with a pair of elite edge rushers. You mentioned T.J. Watt. He missed at least one of those recent meetings, maybe the playoff meeting with the Bills here. But what sort of form is he in? How much of a threat is he come Sunday?
Well, look, we saw it. They had one sack against the Bears, and what was it? It was T.J. chasing down Caleb Williams in the end zone, and then Caleb, it looked like he was trying to flip the ball underhanded. They called it a fumble, and Nick Hervic fell on it for a touchdown. Look, he's getting a lot of attention. But I think I actually wrote this today as I was sort of putting some of my notes together. He had he's on pace for his fewest sacks in a season in which he was not injured since he was a rookie in 2017, right? The flip side of that is, though, we've seen Nick Herbig emerge on the other side as a guy that's a legit, borderline elite, might be there by next season edge rusher. TJ's been fine. I think the problem, has sort of been that they haven't gotten much kind of from their, from the defensive interior, whether it's the interior line, or it's the middle linebackers, with Patrick Queen, who's been effective but not a splash guy. They're paying him to be a splash guy. Peyton Wilson, second-year inside linebacker, good in coverage, super fast, but gets pushed around a lot. The Steelers' defense's problems are not, it's not a T.J. Watt-specific issue. The thing is, though, he also begged – and pouted his way into sort of being to get a contract that made him the highest paid defensive player for about 12 seconds. Right. And you could say, and look, he's going to the Hall of Fame, but he's also, he's getting a lot of attention, and the other guys are outside of Herbig are not taking advantage of one-on-one opportunities consistently enough. So it is, they're struggling to get off the field on third down. I think they're 28th in third down defense. That is just, and some of that's, not stopping the run on first and second down, and some of that is just miscues. I mean, you saw some of the little mistakes. They're not good enough to avoid the little mistakes that you make during the course of the game. There were three that stood out against the Bears, and to be honest, TJ had nothing to do with any of them, right? But the problem is they really, really need him to, they need him to, be crazy every week. And, teams are chipping him on almost every play. So it's really hard. When that happens, other guys have to step up. They will get Alex Highsmith They should get Alex Highsmith back this week. And, you know, he's obviously a veteran, experienced guy. They're paying a lot of money, and when he's on the field, he's good. But it is just, you know, they either make these spectacular plays or they get run over. There's no just like, hey, let's just have a, you know, let's stop them on third and four and make them punt. That doesn't happen enough here, and that is really kind of the main problems with their season.
All right, Will, we got the Sabres in. We got the Bills and Steelers in. No time left for Pitt women's volleyball. It's a national power, Bulldog. My
they
wife's friend
power.
Is on. Her friend's daughter is on the team. Her name is Bayless. And you know, they've been close to winning it all. I don't know if they play UB though, Bulldog. Then we would have would have the opening.
Real local interest. Yeah,
they need to get that.
Well, you can hit me up if that. You can hit me up if and when that happens.
All right, that's a date. Thank you, Will.
All right, take care, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving, Will Graves, from the AP in Pittsburgh. The Bills have signed Brandon Cooks. You got to admire the Bills' part in this whole thing.
That was
the receivers.
That was in the wind enough that I showed up here with his stat page open from ESPN.com today.
Really, you were?
I saw
you were up there for
that. They were mentioned as, you know, like two or three teams that might be interested in signing Brandon Cooks if the situation with the Saints gets resolved, and clearly it has. And so, yeah. It was a 4-3-3 guy coming out of college.
It was in the 90s.
It was a long time ago. It was 2014. Not quite the 90s, but still.
He's
32, 33 years old.
He hasn't seemingly been able to stay on a team for very long in his career. He's been on lots of teams. He's been traded maybe four times, Cooks. But we don't need to worry about that.
No.
That's we don't need him for that long.
3 years in New Orleans, a year in New England, 2 years with the Rams, 3 years with Houston, 2 years with Dallas, back to the Saints.
Now to the Bills.
That's the career. Yep.
Talk about what the Bills will ask of Brandon Cooks here as we continue. We're at the arena today. It's the Sabres and Roswell Park prostate cancer screening event here until 7. Walk-ins are welcome until 6:30. 803-0550 for your calls. You want to react to this Bill signing, feel free. We're ready for you. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Just understanding, you know, that back against the wall mindset, feeling like we've been in a situation like this, if not worse. You know, we'd love to be 11-0 right now, as would everybody else in the NFL. You know, that's why we play the game on the field, not on paper. And ultimately, again, it's our goal to go out there and win every single game, and we haven't done that. But again, every week's an opportunity to go out there and prove to ourselves that we do have what it takes.
Josh Allen, the reigning NFL MVP. Feels like another season maybe where he just has to carry this over the line.
And maybe he will.
That's right. It's come close to happening on several occasions. 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Happy Thanksgiving. Sal will join us at 5. The Sabres face the Penguins tonight in Pittsburgh. Paul Hamilton joins us to preview that game at 6. Here's David with us. Hi, David.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. So this is a little bit more of a Debbie Downer look, but just as an overall perspective of the future of the organization. So a Travis Yost segment I thought was really fascinating, and how he really brought out a lot of points that I was thinking as a lifelong Bills fan. If you look up and down this roster, they really don't have any difference makers at multiple levels on both offense and defense. And you've got a generational talent in Josh Allen. And front office, particularly Bean, has whiffed on way too many draft picks. And the only pathway forward, I think, is to blow this thing up a little bit and to get rid of, to have Bean just part ways with him. I don't think McDermott is the problem. I think, you know, McDermott's answering of the question that said, what is your feeling about this roster? Is this a championship roster? And his response was, I love these guys in this locker room. That is not a ringing endorsement. It would be very easy for him to say, yeah, I think we have a good roster. I think we have a promising roster. He didn't say that. And I just don't, you know, if the ultimate goal of the organization is a lifelong Bills fan, I lived through the 90s, 4 straight Super Bowls, all losses, but at least they reached the Super Bowl.
And if the ultimate goal of this organization is to reach a Super Bowl and win one, this roster, as you look around the league, is not elite enough to do that. And it starts with, and it's a travesty because you have a generational talent like Josh Allen, and he has covered up for so many deficiencies on this roster for years. Ever since the 13 seconds, this roster has deteriorated. And I just don't know if Dean has the – Dean, in my opinion, doesn't have the answers. And he's been neglecting Josh Allen in the receiver room. And, you know, I've been on this wide receiver train with you guys and Jeremy in the morning for years. And he refuses to address it. And his way of addressing it is the 11th hour after the trade line, picking up Brandon Cooks, last year Amari Cooper. And it's just growing frustrating as a Bills fan as you watch other teams play. You look at their rosters, you look at them on defense and offense, and you see all these difference makers on these rosters. And you look at the Bills, and they've got these middle-of-the-road contract guys that they claim they've coached up, and now they're signing their own. And it's just growing frustrating because I know ultimately at the end of it, how this is going to end up. And just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot there. And I do think it is, and it has been for a while, I think, correct to look at the roster if you wanted to look at it skeptically and ask, like, where's the Pro Bowl? Where's the All-Pro? I mean, last year, it was almost a badge of honor for them that Baltimore had all these guys making Pro Bowls or All-Pro teams, and the Bills had, you know, one or none. And, like, that's part of the reason why Allen won the MVP, I think, you know, to some extent, because he's not surrounded by as much. But that's a tough way to live. Yeah, I mean, I think second contract for Rousseau, second contract for Bernard. I'm still relatively optimistic about Benford, but Bernard just can't stay healthy. Rousseau, to me, is just kind of all right. I mean, he's not getting top-of-the-market money, but they did set out to spend in the middle class a lot, and that's who they re-signed. Those guys, none of those guys were impossible to resign because none of them commanded top of the market contracts. Like, those are the guys you got to really work to find a way to keep, and you can't keep them all. If they're not good enough to attract the out of market, top of market contract, what are you really doing? You know, you might just sort of be treading water. I mean, I think all of that is fair. The fact that Jordan Poyer is playing for this team again is pretty stark. The fact that they went and, you know, I'm not here to make jokes about reaching into the past, right? But, like, Shaq Lawson is back now. We've got T.J. Sanders playing on the end.
Trey White.
He can't even play tackle, and he's playing. The whole thing is, you know, the injuries are a big part of it. Trey White is another example. Really, the exception right now, and it's only just beginning. We don't know how far Cole Bishop will climb the hierarchy of safeties in the league. He's the most promising young defender on the team. It's not even close to me. Maybe he and Deion Walker share that, because Walker, I think, shows a lot of promise too. But there's not a lot. And they've gotten old kind of all at once. You know, Taron Johnson, Matt Milano. Yeah, it's tough. And when the only other strength this team has had, really strength, I would say, has been that offensive line. And when they start springing leaks, whether that's age or injury or some combination thereof, then you're in real trouble. Because, like, that is the thing that I think you, over the last 2 or 3 years, would be able to hold up and say, yeah, but they're excellent up there. So they can run the ball, and that sort of mitigates the receiver problem. But if they can't hold up, which they have had a lot of trouble in a couple of these losses doing, the whole thing really is going to collapse. Because there are not difference-making players anywhere. I think objectively that's fair. I don't think that's unfair.
It sounds very bleak, though.
Yeah, I know.
The caller identified himself as Debbie Downer. I do want to say that, to me, not that this is anything to your point, I'm sorry. I just want to say once in a while, I like to say this once in a while. I think the difference between this Bills era and the Kelly era is the competition. Like this team has been better than the Kelly Bills. But the Kelly Bills didn't have a serious rival in the AFC. When they dared to venture into the NFC, they got buried. Like that was a regular thing. I mean, in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, it was anyway. But this team has been more dominant than that. They just have a Chiefs problem, you know, in the one Bengals game. So, I don't know. Like, we always make these big conclusions about what their failures are. I think if they didn't have to play Mahomes and Reed, they'd have made a couple by now. Maybe they wouldn't have won them, but they could have. But, you know, that doesn't change the here and now. And, yeah, I mean, I think there'll be big questions when the season is over about perhaps not only who's on the team, but who chooses who's on the team. Like, that could be what we spend a lot of our offseason on when it gets here. Or we'll have a parade.
Right, one of those two things. Or we'll do both. We'll have a parade and then
fire people.
Argue about who should be picking the players or something, probably.
Yes.
Maybe. I doubt that would happen. But
no, but I agree with most of the sentiment here, like that do they have difference makers beyond Allen? I mean, who are they? Where did the kicker go? Anybody given an answer on that? Like, he's just is he trending in the right direction? Where did he go? I missed an extra point. Kind of a big play.
Turned out.
In Houston.
Yep.
Because now I'm down 4 late and everything's different because it's not 3. So, yes. I think the draft can always be you find somebody that changes everything, you know, even if it's a defensive player. And the Bills haven't landed that. Ironically, perhaps, given what we spend all our time on, is that has come somewhat at the expense of drafting pass catchers with their first pick each of the last 2 years before this one. And, you know, that hasn't gone that well. But are we going to go that far off the cliff here that we're like, guys, why did they draft Keon Coleman? They could have drafted an edge rusher. They could have drafted an interior defensive. They could have drafted a linebacker instead of Kincaid. Maybe we'll end up there. I don't know if I want to. Sal coming up at 5. The Line.
Oh, my.
Is coming up next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.